What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.
And welcome into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad. Marquise Munson taking you through this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Fellas, how's it going? Rex Road, how are you?
I'm good. Thanks for taping the birthday message for youngest Rex Road. You guys did a great job with that before the show. And,
we actually did a really horrible job, but we recovered.
I liked it. I liked it. It was it was spontaneous. And it's good to wake up and know that the NCAA continues to be just a complete bleep show.
Yes.
Like, totally sitting out of all these important things in life and then, you know, denying a waiver request for a kid in the middle of a pandemic. Just brilliant stuff, NCAA.
Yes, they continue to just be awesome. Munson, how we doing, man?
Yeah, NCAA is whack. But I will say this. It felt good.
Hashtag.
It felt good yesterday to not only watch a lot of NBA basketball last night and during the day.
Yes.
But it also felt good to watch coaches' press conferences, which I've missed so much because I get to hear a lot about what's going on in their program. And it's amazing what's going on in their programs and then the student-athletes in their programs. So it's – and if you don't get it, it's a SEC thing kind of. I don't hear other coaches doing that.
Scoo.
Our school and our program.
Does Saban say program?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he does.
He says program. Yeah.
Program.
He says program.
Yeah. That is one of the greatest. It's P-R-O-G-R-U-M, program. I love it.
I love it, too.
and it's better in Coach O's voice.
Program.
Yeah, program.
Bring Joe Burrow into our program.
Yeah. So the SEC schedule, did you guys, like, go through the whole thing and, get your W's and L's? Saban, was he okay? Is that okay for his program?
He's okay with it.
It
was pretty
Missouri
satisfying.
And Kentucky, he was all right with that?
He said he got the rough end of the stick in the whole schedule. I'm just kidding.
But
they do have a rough schedule to where they have to play, like, former coaches. Like he has to play his former coaches, like, I think 4 weeks straight.
Yeah, and he's never had any success against those guys.
It's going to be a hard time for him. And then they got to open the season with Missouri. And that's tough out the gate.
Oh, yeah, it's tough.
Very good journalism school there. A lot of good sports writers out of there. Never lost. Saban has never lost to one of his assistants.
It's sad when you have to
and
go.
And it's a lot of opportunity, like
a lot of assistants.
You know you have a bad football team when you have to start talking about the academic programs that are there.
Yeah.
Programs.
Great journalism program.
Yeah, like, oh, Vandy, man, they got great. They're just great. They're a great medical school. You can go there. Missouri, they're a good journalism school. So is Georgia. Georgia's a good journalism school as well. So Alabama's like, nah, it's just football. We just football on our program.
What is Alabama's best? Like, what's Alabama's best school?
I mean, look, their journalism program I think is good. Their PR program is pretty prominent. Engineering is pretty good as well.
All right.
A lot of kids go there for engineering. So, yeah. And I didn't either. I did journalism, so it's a difference.
Tennessee, Florida, last week of the year. That caught my eye. If we get to that point. It's a big if.
Of course, that immediately made me think of that happened one time, but that was because of 9/11, 2001. They had to reschedule and correct me if I'm wrong. That's the one Tennessee won.
Yeah,
right. That was
steamrolled them in the swamp.
So yeah, that's kind of fun. You know, it's fun to look at the schedule and think about it happening, and that would be interesting. And, of course, starting out at South Carolina, that's the thing. You look at the schedule, and your immediate thought is like, oh, well, South Carolina season open, they're going to be rocking down there. It's like, oh, no, they won't.
No, they won't.
Yeah. There won't be any rocking, or there won't be much rocking, maybe a little bit of rocking.
I think Tennessee's got a really good shot at 3-1 to start.
I do. Yeah. I'll have to look here.
I think they've got Georgia week three, so that's probably not going to be that's the one. Well. That's the one. But I think they've got at South Carolina, and then I want to say Kentucky somewhere.
At South Carolina, Missouri at home, yeah, at Georgia, Kentucky at home, yeah. And then you got Bama. Then you week off, and you have Arkansas. So it's not
4-2 is not out of the realm of possibility to start.
You know, I look at this schedule. I mean, Florida's a huge swing game. Florida's a huge, really South Carolina too. But if they are able to get those, gosh, I don't think 7-3 is crazy.
No.
At first I looked at their opponents and I was like, okay, 5-5, maybe 6-4, but maybe 7-3. How about Vanderbilt? Have you gone through theirs?
Yeah, I think they're going to go.
Have you done 10. The W's and the L's?
Yeah, they're going to go 1-10.
Yeah.
I've done them.
How do you feel about the fourth week of October now for Alabama, Tennessee? It's no longer the third Saturday of October. It's the fourth.
Well, they went through a stretch there for a while where it was like never the third Saturday of October. Like in the early 2000s.
Is that right?
It was always like the fourth Saturday in October, and they kept calling it the third Saturday of October. And I'm like, hey, it's not.
It's the fourth.
It's the fourth.
So I was watching the reveal as watching the NBA as well. And just shout out to Roman Harper for like trying to boost Vandy's self-esteem up. He's like, yeah, he was trying to. Like, I think Vandy can get like a win somewhere.
and then you got to name it. Okay, who? Which team on here are you disrespecting and saying that Vandy's going to beat? You know, that's the problem. I mean, I guess Mizzou?
Kentucky?
Ah,
I doubt it.
Boy.
Missouri? I don't know.
That's the thing. I mean, he's really built Kentucky into, a credible
good
program.
Team,
yeah. They lost some really good players. But, I mean, with Vanderbilt's opt-outs, and I know there's other opt-outs, but that doesn't bode well, man.
I listened to Saban yesterday. I love that guy. I love Nick Saban so much. Basically, they were talking about, you know, we mentioned yesterday on the show, all the people on Alabama's campus lining up for the Yellowhammers or whatever. They asked him about that. And he's like, you know, I don't want to criticize folks. And then went on to list about 12 reasons why they're idiots. He does that all the time. I love it.
That's, yeah, yeah, man. I mean, if you're not going to listen to Saban around there, what are you going to do?
Right? I mean, they've already turned down players like saying the same thing. And so, yeah, it's funny to me how like people just ignore like the fact that Nick Saban is pretty much telling you to wear a mask. And you usually people like would go off on people for having them tell them to wear a mask. But when it's Nick Saban telling you to wear a mask, you just kind of stay quiet. So
do you do it though?
Yeah. I mean, I wear a mask.
I know you do, okay. But I mean, you like the people in Tuscaloosa, they're going to listen to him now?
No.
No. Well, because he also told them to stay in the stands in the fourth quarter when they're beating
they
up
don't
on,
listen to
on,
that either.
on non-conference games, too.
That's true.
And they also don't stay
for that. It's
important
for our program that you remain in your seats.
That's right.
He got up 50. Mad. I remember that year.
Oh, yeah.
He was frustrated that people were leaving. But, I mean, it's hot, man. We don't want to watch
you're
you beat up
by 50.
On Appalachian State. Yeah.
Sometimes you take the $7 million a year and the statue, and you just got to understand it's not all going to go your way.
Yeah.
The $7 million a year, the statue, and the auto dealership in Nashville.
Yes.
That is a beautiful auto dealership, by the way.
Just waiting on something good to happen to that guy. Nick Saban.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Tough life.
$8.8 $5 million. My bad.
Yeah,
don't undersell him.
Don't take some M's off of Nick Saban's
Nick.
Bank account.
Noted Predators fan, Nick Saban.
That's right. I covered him when he made less than $1 million a year. So.
Yeah. Munson, you went out to Titans practice yesterday. No Ryan Tannehill.
I did.
Very limited Derrick Henry. What did you make of practice yesterday? First day in pads.
Yeah, so it kind of worried me at first because I first looked around for Vrabel, because I'm usually like I kind of hang out where the offense is, but I think Vrabel yesterday was more so working with the defense because I didn't hear him. I didn't hear his voice. I didn't hear him yelling at anybody. So I was like, oh, I wonder where Vrabel is. So I guess he was with the defense. And then I started looking for Tannehill because I saw red shirts and I saw a 5 and a 2, and then I see a 17. And I was like, Where's Tannehill?
Uh-oh.
And so I start asking around, where's Tannehill? And he's resting. He's not. I saw people panicking on Twitter of like, oh, Tannehill wasn't at practice. TD kind of teased it a little bit where he had like the emojis. He tweeted like, Ryan Tannehill. Like, he was like, Derrick Henry limited and with a question mark and like eyeball emojis. Everybody just like,
that's nice.
Everybody freaked out and he was like, no, they were just limited. And same thing for, and Derrick Henry did work out like when they separated in position groups. He did work out with the running backs for a little bit, but once they got to, you know, the portion that we're not supposed to, you know, record or anything, that's when, yeah, he kind of went on the bike. So it wasn't like he wasn't doing anything active. He still was on the bike, but he just wasn't on the field. So it was more reps for Darrington Evans, which they desperately need. Like, do you really need to play Derrick Henry as much in those little mini scrimmages? Like, not really. No. So, you know, it was good. He got to go on the bike, and then, you know, he had to get a couple of chances out of some opportunities. But the quarterbacks, outside of Tannehill, hey, man, they're going to need some work. Yeah, I think preseason is definitely going to be missed with when it comes to those guys getting those reps, because there was a lot of overthrown passes and there was a couple of interceptions.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's kind of what I took away from it, is just mainly watching the two quarterbacks, you know, Cole McDonald and Logan Woodside, and watching them. Logan Woodside, although he didn't have any interceptions, you know, he still overthrew a lot of receivers, and, you know, he's really good at short passes, but he's not really good at throwing a zip yet. I haven't really seen him zip it yet.
And yesterday to me was a Logan Woodside day, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a planned day for Tannehill, and it's a, let's see, Logan.
Let's see what you got. And I'm not going to say it was, like, awful where we have to hit, like, the red panic button just yet, but there's a reason why there's two other quarterbacks that are going to probably be trying out for that position.
Yeah, so Aaron Wilson, for people who haven't heard, our friend Aaron Wilson covers the Texans for the Houston Chronicle, reported yesterday the Titans working out four people. Dante Foreman, former Longhorns running back, tight end Jeff Swaim, and then the two quarterbacks you just mentioned, Trevor Siemian, Deshaun Kizer. I mean, to me, very disappointing if there's no Bortles action. Where's Bortles? No one's giving a look at Bortles right now? Blake Bortles? Come on.
So much love for Blake Bortles.
That'd be so much fun. It wouldn't be that much fun without Jarrell Casey. But if Jarrell Casey was here, I would be banging the Bortles drum.
Yeah.
Because Casey ripped on him. I mean, Casey loved ripping on Bortles, man. It was awesome.
Maybe that's why they traded Casey. Is because John Robinson knew he eventually might need Blake Bortles, and knew there's no way those two could play together.
Hey, Bortles, it's safe now. Come on.
Yeah, come on, buddy.
This is a happy place.
So maybe they have a double secret workout for Bortles. And then Kizer and Siemian are just smoke screens. let's hope.
He's got little fathead cutouts of Jarrell Casey all around the field just to make Bortles mad, see if it rattles him.
Stay focused, kid. But we knew, like, this is what we were going to get at the backup quarterback position, right? Like, we kind of figured that, especially with no preseason game. Like, I can imagine, like, even, like, obviously Tua and Joe Burrow are on a different level, but it's going to be a lot of guys that's coming out that they're going to look bad. That's why, like, when I'm usually asked, like, what are your takeaways from practice, I tell you what I saw, but I'm not, like, just take it with a grain of salt because it's practice. And you know, obviously they don't have a preseason game, so that's going to affect it a lot. But it's just, especially for Cole McDonald, he's a rookie, he's a 7th-round pick. Like, I really wasn't expecting him to be throwing Joe Burrow and Tua Tagovailoa passes.
No.
Like, I expected to see.
He looks like a rookie you thought.
I expected to see a guy that's trying to force, you know, balls into receivers' hands. Like, that's what I expected. That's what happened. One of the interceptions, it was jumped. So, you know, that one was pretty good. But, you know, I expected to see that from a rookie quarterback, especially getting drafted in the 7th round. So, but it just, like I said, it just sucks not having a preseason game because, you know, that's when you really get to see how some of these guys really perform, you know, under pressure, you know, 2-minute offense and all these different things. So there's going to have to be some more practice for Logan Woodside. Maybe Ryan Tannehill sits out another day.
Well, it also means we have to pay more attention at practice now, because normally you'd be like, yeah, whatever, and let's see what happens in the preseason game. Now, this is the preseason games.
When we come back, how worried should the Titans be about the backup quarterback position. We'll get into that next. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
How much a day like today maybe help Logan to get some more important reps? And what have you seen from him early in camp?
Yeah, it was a great experience. You know, there's always two ways to look at it. And we talked about this morning. It's a great opportunity. And that's what you got to look at it. I mean, things happen in NFL from, you know, series to series or week to week or, you know, certainly in today's climate, you got to be ready for everything. And so it's a great opportunity, just like any of those guys on any position of offense. And so he's grinding through it. He's doing a nice job so far. What we've thrown at him.
That was Titans offensive coordinator Arthur Smith yesterday talking about Logan Woodside. Welcome back in. Morning Drive, Robbie Stanley. Alongside Joe Rexroad, Floyd Reese will join us at 6:30. Looking forward to having Titans defensive tackle Daquan Jones.
Daquan will join us.
Will join us at 7:15. So looking forward to that. Joe, we talked in the last segment about the struggles of Logan Woodside and Cole McDonald so far, and this is not necessarily a surprising thing to me because we've talked about kind of the risk I think John Robinson and the Titans are taking at the backup quarterback position. You know, it's always important to keep your starter healthy. We realize that. That's going to be crucial for the Titans this year. But at least last year, whether it was when Mariota was starting or when Tannehill was starting, if your quarterback got hurt, you at least felt okay about your backup quarterback situation. As it stands right now, I don't know how, if you're a Titans fan, you feel okay about it. Like, if Tannehill goes down and Woodside comes in, it's going to be really hard to win. Now, you could say that about a lot of teams around the NFL, and I realize that. It's really hard to get an adequate backup quarterback that could come in and win you games. I understand that. But how concerned should the Titans be about their situation at quarterback right now, especially given what we've seen through training camp the first few days?
Yeah, I think it was something we thought would be a thing, and it's a thing already. And, look, I thought the first day of practice, Cole McDonald has looked like a rookie throughout. No surprise there. And they're throwing him in, like, the running, you know, tackling drills. Not to tackle, to be a ball carrier, stuff like that. I mean, he's got a long way to go. He's a project. No surprise. He has kind of cleaned up his hitch, it looks like, a little bit that he had at Hawaii. But again, he's a long way away. Logan Woodside was that mysterious guy. Didn't look good previously. Got a little bit of experience in the
AAF.
AAF, thank you. And they've just been raving about him all offseason. I think he got one of those offseason awards too. Again, it's early right now to say, Logan Woodside is – you know, flaming out.
Sure.
But that was kind of an opportunity yesterday, not really taken advantage of. And then, so if you're him, I'm sure you've heard that Trevor Siemian's worked out, Deshaun Kaiser's worked out. Again, he can't be surprised by that. He had to know that there was definitely a chance a veteran might come in here. But yeah, if you're a Titans fan, that position is the biggest downgrade from last year. At your two, you either had Tannehill or Mariota. And now at your two, you got a guy who just hasn't done anything in the league on the field. And you can be as impressive as anyone in the film room and in the Zoom calls and in the team meetings and all that. But when there's pressure on the field, you know, you got to deliver the football. So it's a big rest of the week for him. You know, even Tannehill back out there today, I would assume. And if not, then get those Teron Davenport eye emojis really going on Twitter. But even with Tannehill out there, every rep Woodside gets is important. And then the question is there anyone out there they could sign? Like, how would Titans fans feel? Would they feel great about Kaiser? Would they feel great about Siemian? I mean, Siemian was a starter in Denver not that long ago. But, you know, there's no one out there that you're going to be like, oh, no problem.
Pumped.
And like you said, like, there aren't that many teams in the NFL who have that. But for the Titans, it's just such a big departure from last year when they finally found someone, you know, you felt good about the two.
Right. And, look, Tannehill – he did a great job last year. He stayed healthy. But it's not like injuries have not been a part of his career. He has dealt with injuries in Miami. They were a substantial part of his career in Miami. And, look, all it takes is one hit in today's NFL. And especially this year, like, it doesn't even have to be a hit. Like, you can get sick, and then all of a sudden you can't play for a week or two. And that could end up being the difference in you making the playoffs or not. So I kind of get the vibe from you, Joe, and have felt this for a while, that you've always thought maybe going the veteran quarterback route was the best way to go. You know, we've heard about Woodside. They talked about Woodside since like last April in terms of how impressive he's been to them. But I just kind of get the vibe from you. You've always kind of felt like a veteran QB has been the way to go for them.
Well, I mean, it's just hard to know with a guy who's never been on the field. That's the hard part. And it's just different. And, you know, this is where in many ways, and all the teams have to deal with this, but this is another example of not having these preseason games. You know, if they could give him a half against another defense, you know, totally different players and system, and you got to read things and you got to make checks align, I mean, it would just be such a better look and a better feel for what he is, and they don't have it. So, yeah, I've always thought, yeah, it just seems to make sense that they would look to sign someone, but then you also have to take into account John Robinson's big on saving some money, and we look, Jadeveon Clowney is going to be a thing until it's not a thing. So, like, how do you balance all that? Can you afford to sign Clowney and a veteran? I think you can, but it's a consideration. And I think they really like how, you know, they're big on the locker room and the position rooms and all that stuff. But you've got to have a two that, like you said, it's not just this year, it's not just Tannehill's injury history, which didn't come up last season but is a thing. It's also the random COVID-19 stuff that can happen to you.
You know, Vrabel has done this, and we've seen the last 2 years. He's not afraid in training camp to just give guys days off. I mean, we've seen Corey Davis have days off when he's been dealing with stuff. He gave a ton of guys some days off last year. I think this was highly intentional. I think this was immediate. I want to see what I have in my backup quarterbacks. I want to throw them out there and see how they respond to this. I mean, what are we, 3 or 4 days into camp? Ryan Tannehill doesn't need a break at this point. But you need to see what you have, because this is going to be really important this year. Hopefully, for their sake, you never really have to find out, because Tannehill can stay healthy, he can stay free from the virus, and he plays all 16 games, and you just move on from that point. But I think this was very intentional by Vrabel, just to throw Woodside and McDonald out there and see what he's got to work with.
I do too. Now, if you're looking at the sequence of events, I can see some people saying, okay, Woodside doesn't play well, all of a sudden you hear about them working someone out. Well, if the Titans worked someone out yesterday, then that was not like, hey, Trevor, fly here real fast. We'll fly here.
We need you here now.
Like, it was, you know, like it was scheduled already. So even if Woodside would have lit the field afire with his bullets all over the, you know, just dimes all over the field, they were going to work these guys out. And so you got to keep that in mind too. It also doesn't mean they're going to sign anyone. But, I mean, if you're him, again, would he be surprised to hear that or disappointed to hear that? I'd be surprised if he were surprised.
Yeah.
Because he's got to know.
Probably disappointed, yes, but.
Sure. But, I mean, he's got to know too, like his level of experience. I mean, if you're Logan Woodside, what may be your best bet here is, if they do sign a veteran, that they keep three. And I could see that. I could see them still possibly keeping three quarterbacks. And then Cole McDonald, you know, the plan would be to release him and sign him on the practice squad. I would be shocked if someone picked up Cole McDonald for their active roster.
Right.
And that may be how it works out. And maybe not. Maybe Woodside proves something. But, again, it's like, it's still an unknown quantity. No matter what happens in these practices, there's still that just unknown and the very possible situation where you have to use your two this year on the field. Look, who's out? Is Trevor Siemian going to?
I was going to say,
make everybody feel great about things? I don't know.
If you're hand selecting a veteran quarterback, would it be Bortles? Who would it be? Who do you think comes in here and fits in the best?
The fun factor is Bortles.
Yes, it is.
I don't know that Bortles fits in necessarily in any way, but he's just, you know, the fun factor. I mean, Trevor Siemian is not bad. I've seen some Trevor Siemian Northwestern action in the past, and he's had a decent career. He's solid. He seems like a decent, like, game manager you can throw in there. DeShone Kizer, I've always thought, has a ton of talent. You know, I mean, obviously he's bounced around a lot. There's some others out there too.
Yeah.
No one. There's no one
great out there.
Yeah. And if they're, you know, I mean, Colin Kaepernick, you always have the Colin Kaepernick, you know, possibility out there. I think that I won't be surprised either way right now. Like if they do sign someone or if they still end up going with Woodside. Either way, you're not going to feel great about that, and that's a concern. And, you know, Pat O'Hara last week talking about Ryan Tannehill, he's like, got to slide, man.
You can't be running. Like that Jacksonville game last year where you're throwing your shoulder down and somersaulting into the end zone.
Helicoptering and stuff. Yeah, that's got to end.
Yeah, can't be doing that. Like, I admire your toughness, but you got to stay healthy this year. It's very important. When we come back, former Titans GM and host of Jared and the GM in the Afternoons, Floyd Reese, will join us. We'll get into some Titans discussion with him. That's next. This is Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad from The Athletic taking you through this Tuesday morning. Talking some Titans, and to help us do a little bit more of that, we bring in our good friend Floyd Reese, former Titans GM and host of Jared and the GM in the Afternoon. Floyd, what's going on, my man?
Not much. How are you guys this morning?
We are doing great. And Floyd, we've got a ton of Titans stuff to get to. But before we do that, we had your boy Stillman on last week. And we were talking.
How'd that go?
It went about how you thought it would.
It was enlightening.
And we were talking to him about this cameo thing that he's doing where he's basically charging people money for him to make personalized videos and send it out like he's some sort of celebrity. Number one, Floyd, have you heard about this? And number two, what's your reaction to it, if you have?
He came in and asked me, he goes, hey, do you want to be on Cameo? I said, what the heck's that? So he explained it to me, and I said, no. He said, well, I am. And he said, so what do they do? He goes, well, they pay like $15 or whatever it is, and I say happy birthday. I said, who the hell would want you to say happy birthday for him? $15. Who would do that? So I don't know. You know, he's off and running. I'm going to tell you what now. He never misses a chance to get him out there. You know, get his face out there, get his name out there. He is really, really self-serving. But you know what? He loves it. And he makes no bones about it. He admits it and just goes on. So more power to him.
Well, Floyd, we did have a caller who made a good point. He's like, I'm going to pay for this and, like, send it to my buddies as, like, a prank. Like, hey, here's your birthday gift as a Stillman you know, kind of genius, you know?
Yeah, maybe.
Stillman might be getting rich, and we're all laughing at him. So, hey,
yeah,
more power to him.
Yeah, he'll be driving a Maserati, and we'll be in the poor man's line. So, who knows?
So, Floyd, obviously we're a couple days into camp now. We were talking in the last segment. There are reports out there that it was a tough day yesterday for the backup quarterbacks, Logan Woodside and Cole McDonald, and we knew this could be an issue heading into this season. How concerned should the Titans be about their backup quarterback situation at this point?
You know, I don't think they're any more concerned now than they have been all year long. And what level of concern is that? I'm not sure. You know, I think what you always have to do is you have to ask yourself, who was out there that would have made us better? I think they have. For whatever reason, you know, they see him every single day, but I think they have confidence in Woodside. Now, you know, does that mean they're willing to put a season on his back? No, they're not. But would you be willing to do that with really any backup quarterback? No, you wouldn't. So it's kind of a catch-22. And if you look throughout the league, the fundamentals are basically the same. If you have Tua as your starting quarterback, your backup quarterback's going to be a 15, 16-year vet. If you've got Tannehill as a starting quarterback, a number one that you just paid a bunch of money, your backup quarterback's going to be a young guy that, you know, in theory is going to be able to take over whenever Tannehill decides he's done. And it's kind of the same way. Now, if you get to a point, and we saw this last year with us, right? They weren't sure, was Marcus going to be able to make the season either from a quality of play standpoint or an injury standpoint? We're not sure. Okay, we better get a really good backup. If you're the Las Vegas Raiders right now, where are you with Carr? Where do you sit? Is he good enough? Well, I'm not sure. Well, you better get a good backup. Enter Marcus Mariota. So I think, you know, people kind of plan these things out, and you know, there's a method to their madness. Does it always work? Heck no, it doesn't. You know, are you going to see another Tannehill-type situation? No. You know, that's, you're not going to get a backup quarterback come in and play and lead you to the AFC Championship game. But, you know, it happened for us, and we got to be excited about that.
Yeah, Floyd, it feels a little bit like that was, you know, intentional yesterday. Tannehill sits out, and it's sort of like first day of pads. Let's see what Woodside's got, which, I mean, I you know, it's got to be frustrating, and I know everybody's got to deal with it, but having no preseason games, that's a perfect opportunity, right? You say, hey, Woodside, this is your half. Go for it, and then you see what you've got there. How difficult do you think it is for these guys to try to recreate some of those situations that you just – usually just count on those preseason games for providing?
Yeah, that's exactly right. And the hard part, of course, is you're all for getting the young guys some playing time, and you're all for, you know, hoping they improve and giving them opportunities and all that kind of stuff. But by the same token, you know, where are you with the real guys? Where are you with the starters? Are they hitting on all cylinders? Is that a finely tuned machine? And I'm going to guess, no, it is not. And because of that, you know, you're almost forced to sacrifice some of the experience and playtime for that young group just to make sure that your real guys are, you know, at a point in time where they can go out there against Denver on a Monday night and find a way to win a game.
Former Titans GM and host of Jared and the GM, Floyd Reese, on the line with us. And Floyd, we were talking yesterday about this offense specifically and trying to determine what the expectations should be. Like, what's a fair bar? And I think both Joe and I really see no reason why this offense can't be a top five offense in the league. What do you think's a fair expectation for the Titans offense heading into this year?
You know, I don't know. I don't know what's fair. I would say this. I think the potential, the opportunity for them to be a really productive offense is there. I think if you look at each one of the positions on offense, with the exception of right tackle, you're going to see people that have done it. Not talking about, you know, I hope they can do this. I hope Humphreys can go out and catch 65 passes. He's already done that. I hope Corey Davis can go out and catch 60. He's already done that. You know, I hope A.J. Brown, he's done that. I want the leading rusher. You got that. I want a quarterback to lead the league. And yeah, you got that. So, you know, you look at each one of those and you say, okay, they're all there. Now, can we get them all, just what we talked about a second ago, can you get them all hitting, you know, at the same time, playing the same way and all those kind? And if you can, then you end up with one of those offenses that, you know, people are looking at and marvel at. If you can't, for whatever reason, you know, not performing, injuries, whatever, then, you know, you're going to fall short. But I think you have to look at this and you say, wow, you know, it's there. I think all the elements are there. Let's just get it working.
On the other side of the ball, Floyd, what is your just early thought right now, or maybe your early concern level on this defense? Obviously, some guys are missing. You know, Vic Beasley still not out there, and there's going to be a ton of attention on him, whatever happens from here. But, I mean, to me, it's like you've got to scale back whatever expectations, probably some with him, and then other guys missing, wondering if they will have enough pass rush. I mean, what do you think about that side of the ball right now?
Yeah, I'm like you. I'm a little bit concerned. I think I'm concerned as much from how they're going to deal with the signal calling and things like that, simply because we don't know, and whoever's going to do it is going to try to, a certain extent, emulate Dean Pease. And, you know, how well are we going to do that? You know, if Shane is the guy, did he know Dean well enough to really know when Dean was going to pull the rabbit out of the hat? Same thing with Mike. And if you say, no, they don't, or no, they're not, well, then you're talking about, okay, then the defense is going to be a little bit different. How much different? And how well are we going to perform being different? So I think I get concerned a little bit of that. Of course, you know, I'm a little bit concerned about the depth at corner. The young guy is going to have to come out and find a way to play. Other than that, I think you probably have enough people in enough spots that you can you get by. Is it going to be ideal? No, not at every spot, but it's going to be okay.
Floyd, Jonnu Smith took a big step last year, being the full-time guy at tight end. How much have you seen his game and his skill set grow over the course of the past year or so?
Yeah. I mean, when you think back, and I was one of those guys when Jonnu first got rolling that, you know, he comes in, he makes a play, then he turns around and screws up a play and loses whatever he made, then he makes a play, and I went back and forth, and I really struggled with the mental aspects, the mental mistakes, the holding penalties, the whatever it may have been with him. In the last year or so, he's kind of pulled – one of two things has happened. He's pulled himself out of that, or now he's making enough big plays that it overrides, you know, the mistake that he makes periodically. But he has turned into a plus. You know, he's turned into an element on offense that I think you look at and you say, okay, he's got a skill set. He's got some size. He can run. He works his butt off. The coaches and players love him. And we've seen him make that, you know, that catch where you look at it and you go, wow, did you see that? Now, you may never make it again, but we did see him make it that one time, and I think you have to get excited about that. So if he can go out there and just be consistent and just give us a certain level of play, is that 2, 3, 4 passes a week? I don't know what it is, but just something consistent. Then periodically when we need the special play, give that to us, he would be a giant plus.
Yeah, position's interesting too, Floyd, because, you know, obviously Delanie Walker moves on, and, you know, he obviously didn't have much of a role last year. He was banged up. But you've got Jonnu moving up to that one, and then Pruitt and Ferkser are guys who were kind of just picked up, you know, on the scrap heap, but they've been really, really good players. And it seems like they've got a solid group there, even though if you look at, you know, their profiles, I guess you could say, wow, that, you know, these guys are, it's not like you've got high draft picks in that room, just guys who have come here and flourished.
You know, for whatever reason, we seem to, particularly on offense, have a group of those guys. A group of those guys that just, you know, whether it's Caleb Raymond, whether it's Pruitt, whether it's Ferkser, you know, you say, who is this guy? And he went to Harvard. Nobody from Harvard can play. Did you see that catch? You know, kind of a thing. But you look at that group of guys, and they have been really, really good at situational football, really good at, okay, we got, you know, we're putting you in here. There's a chance you're going to be open. We're going to get you the ball. You got to catch. And they've been able to do those kinds of things. So, yeah, they're kind of exciting. Now, can they continue to do that? I don't know. That's pretty hard to do. But if they can, those guys are always a giant plus because they just come out of nowhere, and the next thing you know, you're ahead by 7 points.
Former Titans GM and co-host of Jared and the GM, Floyd Reese, has been our guest here on Morning Drive. Floyd, thanks as always for joining us, and make sure you stay off Cameo.
Hey, $15.99, you can get it.
That's right. See you, Floyd. Thanks, man.
Bye, guys.
Yeah. Oh, $15.99. That was the exact reaction out of him I was hoping for.
What was the great quote out of there? He's just, what was it? Like, he's just so self-serving.
Yes, self-serving.
Loves himself so much. That's Floyd talking about Jared, by the way.
Yes. When we come back, we'll dive into the wide receiver group for the Titans. Who's going to have a big year other than A.J. Brown? We'll talk about that next. This is Morning Drive on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Your receiver room and depth at the back end. I mean, what are you looking for as you get past, I guess, those top three? I mean, obviously, Khalif gave you a great season last year. When you look at those guys, do you feel like you need another big-bodied guy to emerge, you know, with Tajay moving on? I mean, how do you look at that?
Yeah, those are good questions, but there's a lot of good competition in that room. And, you know, between those guys you're talking about between Khalif, Rashard, Cam Batson, Cody Hollister, guys that gave us snaps last year. They all got their different strengths and they're really competitive. And a lot of it too goes in how they fit into the big picture with special teams. And then you also got those four rookies and we'll see who emerges. But I love the culture of that room. There's really good competition. They all have different skill sets. So it just depends. I think it'll work itself out by the end, but we're not going to pigeonhole like, hey, we got to have, you know, this guy because he's just because of one trait. So we'll see who gives us the most versatility. All my life, been grinding all my
life, sacrifice. That was Titans offensive coordinator Arthur Smith responding to what he phrased as good questions by Joe Rexroad there. Good job, Joe.
How come Munson only plays my questions when I, like, stumble all over my words and stuff?
Well, you didn't stumble.
Like,
yeah, see,
you were fine.
Wait.
Did you edit me a little bit?
We cut that part out, man, because he did stumble in
stumble a little bit?
I was listening to it yesterday, like, on the way, you know, just watching my NBA basketball and listening to it, and I was like, oh, come on, Joe. You got to be – gotta do better.
So that was really good producing. He made you sound really good there.
To be fair, you know, like my
his Wi-Fi was like,
yeah, my fifth grade daughter was sitting at the same table working on her, you know, doing like going to school.
Okay,
she's going to school, sitting at the same table, so I'm distracted. But yeah, I got to step up the smoothness of the question game if we're gonna be replaying.
Well, it worked for Arthur Smith. He said it was good.
That's true. Thank you, Arthur. And he did kind of reject the idea. Even though, and no one's going to say this out loud, but I'm sure at some point in that room they're like, well, we can't have like a whole bunch of 5'8 dudes, right? But it's an interesting receiver battle because if you believe that Khalif Raymond right now is on the team, and I would put him at the number four guy, that puts him right after the number three guy, Adam Humphries.
That's some good math.
Yes, thank you. And they're both little guys. And then you've got Cam Batson, who was going to make the team last year, got hurt. And then you got Rashard Davis, who has been impressive. Little guys.
Yep.
It's little guys all over the place. So I think Arthur Smith makes a very fair point there. You can't pigeonhole people and say, this is the one thing. Like, we have to have a 6'3 guy or that's that. But I would be surprised if this receiver room doesn't have a little bit of size diversity to it at the end there.
And we all know how important blocking is for the receivers of the Titans. And Corey Davis, there's going to be a ton of pressure on him this year to block. Make sure he's blocking well.
That's right. It's a big –
can't have all these little guys going out there blocking.
It's a prove-it year as a blocker for Corey Davis.
That's right.
Well, the little guys can go out and cut somebody, I guess, yeah. You know. I mean, look, obviously, it's not like they're all the exact same player. Rashard Davis's hope of making this team is – partially, you know, because his return talents are valuable. But I don't know, you know, right now Cam Batson, I mean, those guys are really in an interesting battle. And I've been watching the UFAs, the undrafted free agents. Mason Kinsey's another little guy, undrafted free agent, went to Berry College, but like really impressive skill. Again, he's not big. Bigger guys, Cody Hollister is trying to make the team again. I think he's got a chance. And Christian Wilkerson, again, I'm going to give TD, Teron Davenport, a shout-out. SEMO, Southeast Missouri, keeps making plays every day, keeps making plays. Good size, good speed. I've really been impressed with his hands. So that receiver battle is interesting. And, again, I just think we can make fun of the blocking, and we will make fun of the blocking, but – Tajay Sharp was a guy who would come in and gave you some of that too. And I think it would be good for the Titans to have another guy with some size on this team.
Well, one plus that I think they have, and when you're talking about the size aspect, I mean, obviously A.J. Brown, Corey Davis, the size is there. Adam Humphries not so much, but Adam Humphries, he's got a specific role in what he's supposed to do with this receiving group. But I think a luxury they have that they had also with Delanie Walker is you can split – Jonnu Smith out wide, and you could put him, line him up as a receiver because he's got, number one, the size, but number two, the speed. Like, I went back the other day and watched that, like, little toss sweep they gave him last year. Dude's got some speed. Yeah. He can run, and I think that's a big weapon. So, if you're the Titans, I would expect there's going to be a lot of times this year where Arthur Smith just lines Jonnu Smith up as a wide receiver and just goes out there and lets him run routes as if he's playing a wide receiver position. I wonder how prevalent that becomes in this offense as well.
Yeah, and some of the stuff they did with Delanie Walker You know, I think with Janu, there's a little bit of, you know, startup time for him, get him going downhill. But like you said, I mean, it's when he gets a little bit of momentum going, it is pretty unbelievable how he moves with that body. And he has looked very imposing out there so far in camp. So, yeah, I agree. I think they're going to use him in different ways, find different things for him. We know Firkser is sort of a specialist, but a guy that you still want to be able to contribute in different ways. And then Michael Pruitt's a guy, too, who actually had big numbers as a receiving tight end in college, has been a blocker here, but I wouldn't be surprised if he had a little bit more of a role. Like, everybody bumps up a spot. So, overall, with their pass catching, I think they're in good shape. I think the receiver room is just going to be interesting. Also interesting that the Titans worked out a tight end yesterday. So, I don't know. You don't want to overread into things when you work somebody out, but you wonder if, you know, they're looking for a four right now and not finding exactly what they need out there.
Yeah, and that also makes me wonder how often their top three are going to come off the field. Like, it's not going to come off the field a ton anyway in terms of A.J. Brown, Corey Davis, Adam Humphries, assuming they're all healthy. Are you more inclined this year, if you're Arthur Smith and the Titans, to leave them on more than you normally would if you did have Tajay Sharpe to come in and spell a guy here and there? Like, I wonder how that works as well. Because, I mean, Raymond, I think he's going to make the team. I think he's got a spot on this team. I think the speed that he brings to the table, he did enough last year, I think, to prove that you can trust him. So he's going to have a role, but he's not like an every down receiver. He's more of your, hey, we're going deep with this guy, and we're going to see if he can outrun everybody in the secondary. You can't do that all the time. Like, he's not going to be in there running across the middle, nor should he be, because he did that once last year and got absolutely wrecked, and I was terrified after that hit. But I just wonder if that means that they're going to leave their starting three receivers on the field more often than they normally would under different circumstances.
Yeah, you're probably right. But you have Corey Davis, who is back off PUP, but he's been hurt. Humphries was hurt last year. It's a concern. I mean, if you would have told me they're working out four people yesterday, I would have guessed one of them was a receiver. I still think there's absolutely a chance they go out and find someone, a veteran possibly, at receiver, because the depth it's a little bit questionable. I think Raymond is a guy who, he looks really good to me. I think he's a guy who knows how close he was to being out of this league and how hard it is to stay in this league. And so he hasn't just rested on like the TD at Baltimore. But you're right. There's still limitations with him. He's not going to be an every down guy. So if they know that they have the top three healthy all year, I think they'll roll with those guys for the most part and feel great about that. But you have to expect injuries everywhere. And I think at both those positions, receiver and tight end, the addition of depth is definitely something to watch during camp.
Puts a lot of pressure on A.J. Brown. I think he's going to have a monster year. And everything I've seen coming out of training camp tells me that guy is the real deal. So I'm not really all that worried about him in terms of production, but they need to target A.J. Brown a lot this year, much more. I think he had 84 targets last year. You need to get to about 140. I mean, you need to throw that guy the ball all the time.
Yeah, and remember, that's the first few weeks of the season, he was very much a situational guy. I mean, he had the big game in Cleveland, but it wasn't until a few weeks in that they were like, okay, oh, he's our best receiver.
He's pretty good.
We'll start rolling. Yeah, this year, I think, what'd you say, 140? That's probably about right.
When we come back, the SEC schedule was released yesterday. We'll give you our reaction to it and also look at the Cade Mays situation going on in Knoxville. That's next. This is Morning Drive, live from the Wholesale Inc. studio, powered by RumbleOn.com, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend, because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love, with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com, SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Andy and Anna here from your new favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Yes, we are two of the four hosts of the podcast that stuffs fascinating, amazing, weird, mad facts into your ears on a weekly basis. You got any good facts, Andy?
Yes, how about this one? Anteaters have evolved on 12 separate occasions.
Wow.
Mysterious. Wonderful.
The world really wants them to exist. What about this one? When Ronald Reagan left office, he left a note on the White House lawn for the squirrels, warning them to beware of George Bush's dogs.
So there you go. If you like fascinating facts and much more besides, we are No Such Thing as a Fish.